I want you just to look at this verse with me just a little bit. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean, to delight yourself in the Lord? Delight yourself in the Lord. That can be like a strange type of thing. What exactly does that mean? What does it mean to delight yourself in something? I saw a picture in the internet. I thought it captured it beautifully. Here's this person. I don't know if it's a little girl or a woman, but looks like no hair on the arm, so it's not a man. But they're holding this starfish up that they found, and they're looking at it. And they're just awed by the beauty and the complexity of what they have in their hands. And all of time stops for a moment. And all they're concentrating on is enjoying what is in their hands and what they see and what they marvel at. They're delighting in that starfish. And we're supposed to delight in the Lord. And delighting in the Lord means that for more than a moment, hopefully our lives, but we know in reality we are selfish, self-centered human beings, so we have those moments where we can stop and nothing else has our attention other than the awesome beauty and complexity and intricacy of what God is doing beyond our comprehension that we are able to see. And it just brings great joy to our lives to see how great God is and what he's doing is. I saw another picture that was right under that of another starfish. I never knew starfishes were different colors. And I know they're rare. But as I searched through, there are all kinds of different colors and types of starfish that I picked this one out because it was the next one, so it was easy to get. But it's beautiful. And if I were walking down the beach looking for starfish and I found that starfish, I guarantee you I would stop. I would hold that thing up and I would gaze into the beauty. I would want to examine everything that was happening there, and I would want to enjoy that moment completely. Because it was what I was looking for if I was out searching for starfish. It was beyond what I would ever hope or imagine I would find if I walked up on a starfish like that. And that is how our life should be with God. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and what does he give us? He gives us the desires of our heart. And that is exactly what he gave Tim. Tim wanted to connect. And God put a desire in his heart to connect at that moment. And it drove and it guided and he pushed toward it. And if he wouldn't have been pushing toward it, I don't know if it would have happened the same way. But God put that desire in his heart. And then when he followed that desire and he sought that desire, guess what God did? He fulfilled that desire. And it was more awesome than what he could have imagined. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:5 that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Paul tells us that the goal of our instruction is love, with a clear conscience and a true or unfaked or unfeigned faith. And Tim was given a faith that God could use him. He was given a love for people that he wanted to express. That was a desire God birthed in his heart. And yeah, he knows himself. That is not how he is all the time. That is a gift from God, that desire. And that conviction to follow that desire led to some wonderful things in his life. Now, the world wasn't open to that. It was shutting it out. This is a picture of one of the hotels. You notice that's razor wire over the top. You notice there's an armed guard. There's a barricade, so even when the door opens, you can't drive through. Because they're there to protect you from grave danger. Is there any other kind? But when we got there, there was all kinds of things and doors that closed and said, when you come in here, this is your time to be safe, to be recuperating, to be away. It's not the time that you're going to minister. No one else is coming in here. You're safe in here. And this is where you're going to be by yourself to rest and relax. But something in Tim's heart was beating and saying, I don't want to rest. It's not time for me to rest. Now, I'll tell you, for me, I wanted rest. You know what my plans were for the rest day? Sleep late. And after I had seen and talked with the Ugandan people, work on what I was going to do in the pastor's conference. So my agenda for myself was to not engage with anyone. I had even kind of thought about how much time I would have to spend with the members of the team during that time because I had work I needed to do. I knew I needed to spend some time with them. But my heart was not beating to connect with people. But you know, a desire given by God can be contagious. And it can also lead people who are not necessarily connected with what they need to do at that time. Tim had that burning desire that he wanted to reach out, that he wanted to connect. And so I went out there into the garden to have some time where I was alone to read and to study. They ended up coming out there and kicking the ball around because they had nothing to do. Jonathan kicked the ball over the guarded fence. Well, I knew that was going to happen. And so Jonathan was going to go out to go get it, which I knew was dangerous, but of course Jonathan is fearless, right? And so Jonathan is going to go get the ball. And so he goes and gets the ball, and when he comes back, guess what Jonathan sees? A kid, which is like a magnet to steal. And so Jonathan's out there, and he's kicking the ball, and he asks, can we bring them in? And they say, no. And so I'm over there, and I'm sitting with our interpreter who drives the bus, and I said, is this dangerous what he's doing? And he said, yes. So I said, okay, we need to get him back in. And earlier we had met a man named Stephen, who was maintenance guy for the hotel. And he had heard that we were leaving the hotel, which was a big, big deal for them. They didn't want to see us go because they didn't want to see that money go. And they were upset. And he came and he, you know, voiced a little bit of concern over that thing. And we just prayed with him. And for some reason, that prayer touched his heart. And he saw Christ and he wanted to do something back. So he comes over and overrides the guard and tells him he will watch as the kids come in and play. So the kids come in, and they're all playing, and they're all having a great time. And I'm sitting there, and he's sitting in a chair next to me. Well, you know, you can't just not talk to him. There's no way I can just say, well, I got work to do, like that. So I ended up engaging with Stephen and having a very long conversation with him. And he was a born-again Christian. But like other people in Uganda, he was under tremendous financial stress. He was trying to study to be a veterinarian. He did not have the money to pay the tuition. Everywhere he went, it seemed like things were very tough. He was 2 hours away from his school and home in Kawempe, trying to make some money at this job that he had found. He was not making enough money. He didn't see how things were going to work out. And we just started going over scriptures about how that is exactly how God works. He works through difficulties. He works through struggles. We walk where we cannot see how things will ever come about, but because we have faith, we keep walking. And then when we get there, he just does something miraculous. And we know that God is with us. And you could just see his faith being bolstered. And as I was there, I realized that this was one of the divine appointments that God had for me on this trip, which I would have missed if Tim would not have pushed to pull those kids in there. And so we talked for hour and a half. I don't know, it was a long conversation. And it was very, very, very good. And it touched his heart. And when I had talked to him the first time and we had prayed as a group and we knew we were leaving and we knew it was financially going to be hard and he had told us he was a Christian and he didn't ask for anything, for some reason God had touched my heart and said, you need to give him some money. So I'd already decided to do that. But it just would not have been the same thing if that money would have been in his hands before that conversation. But after that conversation, I gave him a Bible and I gave him some money. You know what he did with that money? He went out and bought Wi-Fi for us because he had heard that we had not been able to contact our wives and families. So he needed the money desperately. He wanted God to give it to him. But when the money got into his hands, he gave it to someone else. He gave it to us. And then when Corey got sick at first, we got up there, and what has he done? He's left work. He spent the entire day and night with them in the hospital. And then Jesse got sick, and he goes and gets food. He spent the money on us because he no longer was afraid that God would not go before him. He knew that God would take care of him. And so he was going to do whatever he thought God wanted him to do to love others. Isn't that cool? And God fulfilled the desires of his heart. And what he really needs is he needs faith. He needs comfort. He needs courage. Isn't that what we all need? That is a lot more valuable than $50 that will disappear in a month. And so God did some tremendous things that we were really incredibly privileged to see. Those who want to save their life, Jesus says, will give up true life. That's a statement we need to think about. But those who give up their lives for me and for the good news will have true life. And that's a statement that the world cannot understand. But it is a statement that everyone who has ever felt God speak in their heart and given them hope for tomorrow and can freely give what they've got to someone else understands. That what God does in our heart and what God brings us is true life that cannot be replaced by anything. Knowing that God is with us. My life is being poured out as a part of a sacrifice and service I offer to God for your faith. Yet I am filled with joy, and I share that joy with all of you. I thank every member of our team, and I think most of you in here have seen that verse fulfilled in your life. You have seen that word become flesh in your life. As God has moved in you to pour yourself out for others, for their faith, for them to grow closer to God, you have been blessed with a joy that you would not trade for anything. Here's another tough question that I want you to ask. What are you pouring your life into? That's a question we need to ask. You know, I've been thinking this last couple of weeks that, most all the sermons you hear from Paul's epistles are the general epistles. You don't hear too many sermons about Jesus' words. You know why? Because they ask us questions like that. That's why. Because they're not all about how loving and gracious God's gift to us is. They're about how we should respond so that we can actually embrace and experience that love. Because love is only real when it's given away. And it's not enough that God loves us. If we want to experience that love, we have to love them back. It's not good enough to be in a marriage where someone loves you and you don't love them. If you want the joy of true love, both people have to love one another. And it's what God wants. What are you pouring your life into? That's a question that you need to examine and say, where's my time? Where are my energies? Where's my thought? Is it on my job? Is it on my kids? I mean, you got to have a job. Kids need to be loved. But if our life is being poured into something other than Christ, we will not have that fulfilling life that Christ wants us to have. If we pour our life out for Christ in serving others for him, he will add all those things to us. So who are you pouring your life into? Because it shouldn't be a what. Who is God putting on your heart for you to love for Christ? That is an important question. This is how Jesus looked at us. This is my blood covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. You know, I see a lot of people in this congregation who pour their life out into many people, and God has blessed them for it. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour his anger out on us. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who, listen to this, live for themselves and refuse to obey the truth. The truth is that God loves us and he pours his life out for us and he asks us to pour our lives back into him. He wants a love relationship that goes both ways. He doesn't want a relationship that says, I will pour everything out for you and you can disregard it and do whatever you want. He wants our lives to be connected to his. And remember, 1 Peter tells us, that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. And that's not saying that we're based on works to earn God's love. What it's saying is simply this, that if we have true faith and true love, we will act. And if we don't act, we don't have true faith and we don't have true love. And if we think we do, we're only kidding ourselves. He's saying, examine yourself and seeing what does your faith and what does your love produce in your life. What are those actions? Where are your attention? And God will judge us on how we live out our life and live out our faith and our love for him. So, it continues, you must live in reverent fear or respect of him during your time as foreigners in this land. I think at times my problem has been I didn't see myself as a foreigner in this world. I saw myself as in this world and how it treated me was so important I couldn't see God. But we're foreigners in this land. Our time is limited. And God has given us this life as a gift, but it's only a shadow of the life we're going to have. And how we live it needs to be in respect of him. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited for your ancestors. And if our life and our desires do not line up with what God is telling us our life should be in his word, then I don't have to ask you what your life is like. I know it's empty. Now, it may feel great when circumstances are all in your favor. But even at that time, I know there are times where you stop and think, is this all there is? Even Tom Brady thought that. But it's an empty life we inherit from our ancestors. But he bought us back from that. And the ransom he paid was not mere silver or gold. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Christ loved us so much that he poured out everything he had for us. He shed his blood. He gave his life. So we know he loves us. And he asks for our life. He says, you can't be my follower if you do not deny yourself. You cannot live to indulge yourself. You cannot be my followers unless you pick up your cross and you follow me. And what that means is that you sacrifice yourself for Christ. That you are a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to him. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ. And when we truly understand the grace that God gives us, when we truly understand that though we are a speck of dust that means nothing, that God does not need, and we were in rebellion to him and we had pushed him away, he still cared enough to suffer for us because of how graceful he is. And he gave that to us. It produces in us faith and love in Christ as we see how great he is. God will fulfill his purpose in me. I love Psalms where it says, I cry out to you, O God, who will fulfill his purpose in me. Well, let's take just a moment and let's pray. Father, we may never understand how great your love for us is. But we know that we do not have true life unless we do. And I know that the rush of life and all the distractions pull our attention away from being still and seeing how great you are. And so we ask you, Lord, to open our hearts and to speak. We ask you to reveal to us how good you are, how much grace you have given us. We ask you to fill us with your love, and not just so we are forgiven, but so that we can experience a rebirth in our hearts, that we can see you and know you and experience life with your love in our heart. Fill the emptiness inside of us with your Spirit. And Father, if you are speaking now, and you're speaking to the heart of someone who realizes that they do not know you like that, that their relationship with you is simply obeying rules, participating in rituals, going to church, but it is not being captured by your great love and transformed by your great love. They realize that you are not really in their hearts. I pray, Lord, right now that you will draw them and that they will just let go and surrender and pray and say, God, forgive me. I open my heart now to you and I ask you to come into my life. I give my life to you. You created me. I am yours. Forgive me. And through Christ, make me your child. We thank you, God, that you can do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.